But this is what I think. Probably everybody in here has a broken leg. Now you understand where I'm coming from. Yours might be a relationship, a family relationship. Yours might be something at work, a ungodly boss or something at home, something in your career, something in your past, something you can't get out of your mind, but something has you distracted. Something is going on in most all of our lives. It seems to me that in life we go from catastrophe to catastrophe. But God means for that to build us, not to break us down, to make us stronger people. And what I'm going to share with you this morning is kind of new stuff for me. Because, you see, I thought if you had a flat tire and you, okay, Lord, thank you. It's all right. I got a spare. Big deal. But then when you become totally dependent on other folks to help take care of you, it's a little different story. Now, I'm going to, you know, really, I'm a little sheepish about even saying this because most likely in the next 4 or 5 weeks, I'm going to be up walking. So some of you know much more about what I'm going to talk about today than what I do. But I want to talk to you about allowing that situation in your life, whatever it is, making you better and not bitter. I want to talk to you about the danger of becoming bitter in your life over a situation. It might be that you're a little bit bitter, but it's still standing in the way. It could be that you're a whole lot bitter, so bitter that it is affecting other people in your path and in your life. And you've allowed that because you didn't think that what has happened to you in the past should have happened. You didn't deserve it. I didn't deserve it. Well, I made a discovery these past few weeks that through this broken leg that to thank the Lord for my broken leg, because that's what the Bible says to do in all things. Are you hearing me today? Somebody stomp for me. Are you hearing me today? In not most things, hear me, not in most things, but in all things, give thanks. Amen. Now, does that mean that we give thanks for our wayward child? No. It means we're thanking God for how He's going to bring that child back and for how we are going to operate during that time, not through bitterness, but maybe through brokenness, that God is going to use us in that way. So I want you to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Hebrews, the 12th chapter. The book of Hebrews, the 12th chapter. This is going to be a little different. And those of you that can stand, stand not with me, but against me. Don't stand against me, please. Hebrews 12. And verse 1. Now this is so important. Wherefore. Now you know why he put that there? Wherefore? Because of he's just come through all these people that he's given to us as an example. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin. Now I want you to notice how the King James puts it here, the sin. He doesn't just say sin, he says the sin, which doth so easily beset us. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now that word patience, really the word is perseverance. Persevere. Persevere. Now what does that mean? Stay in the race. Stay in the race. No matter what, stay in the race. Broken leg or not, stay in the race. No matter what the circumstances that has flooded your life or that has brought you to a place of almost brokenness, you still stay in the race. So you run it with perseverance. We are in a race. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endures such contradictions of sinners against himself, lest you be warned and faint, wearied and faint in your minds. Wow. You've not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, now here we go. Pay close attention. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord. Some of your translations will use that word discipline there. It's really more discipline. We think of chastening a lot of times getting a spanking over something that we did wrong. And it's that, but it's also discipline. Teaching us how to run the race. Despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, there's a point, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth, that's a whipping, every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening or discipline, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers. It's not some, it's all. Everybody. All are partakers. Then are you bastards and not sons. If you are not under the discipline of the Lord, you're not a Christian. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and life? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But he, for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Here's where he's headed with us. Holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous. You get that? That's truth, isn't it? I mean, it don't feel good when it's going on. But grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. So right here, he's getting ready to give us a very strong warning about this race of life. And this is what he says. Where'd I get to? 12. 12, wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. People who are going through it. And make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame is turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men, and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Because that's the direction he's trying to bring us, is to holiness. You understand? Looking diligently, here's the warning. Looking diligently. Looking diligently. Be careful here, he says. Man, watch out for this. Lest any man fail of the grace of God. When you're going through this race, you're either running it with grace or you're not running it with grace. And when you're not running it with grace, bitterness will come out in your life. Lest any root of bitterness spring up, trouble you, and there, look at it, many be defiled. So is that broken leg in your life cause bitterness or betterness? It's a really, really tough deal. Lest there be any, look at that word, lest there be any fornicator or profane person, that means God dishonoring, as Esau. Had you ever heard about Esau being a fornicator? Who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterwards, when he would have inherited the blessing. Oh, this is deep stuff. I don't know if you realize it or not. When he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Let us pray. Father, we come before your throne of grace and mercy. God, I just pray that you'd open our spiritual eyes that we might see the truth of your word today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. James 1, verse 1 through 4. Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Now, I'm not going to read all four verses, but that's in there. If you read the verses, you'll see that. When you're being tempted, when you're traveling this road, and there's bumps in the road, there's rough places in the road, things are happening that you don't think ought to be happening. Here, he said, count it all joy. Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation. And then he goes on to say, because the trying of your faith worketh patience, and let patience have her perfect work, and entire, that you might become perfect yourself. That don't mean perfect without fault. That means complete, wanting nothing. In Philippians 4 and verse 4, he says, rejoice in the Lord most of the time. Is that right? Rejoice in the Lord always. And then he puts in a double deal here. And again I say, rejoice. So, no matter what's going on, always rejoice. Always rejoice. So, no matter what the situation is in our life, we have a choice in this. If there wasn't a choice there, I believe that the Lord would have said, now I know there's going to be times that you can't rejoice. But that's not what he said. He said, in all things, rejoice. That means that even if we lose a child, that cannot steal our joy. It can make us bitter or it can make us better. Even when we lose our parents, it can make us bitter, it can make us better. when hard times come, it can make us bitter or it can make us better. Now, I don't believe that that means that when we're going through these struggles in life, that we're supposed to put on some kind of show like it doesn't bother us. I don't think that's what he means at all. I think that when you read the entire chapter, the warning is don't become bitter over that situation that is taking place in your life. Don't become bitter over that, because it is so easy for us to become bitter over those circumstances that are happening in our life. 1 Thessalonians 5. And I've written down several verses here, but I'm not going to read them all. Rejoice evermore. Now, what does it mean to rejoice? What does that word mean, rejoice? Rejoice evermore. Did you know that the Bible says the angels in heaven rejoice over one sinner that comes to repentance? So what does that mean, to rejoice? Yes. God's in charge. He's going to bring us to the other side of this situation. It may be a terrible situation. And we've had some of those in our life that we didn't think that we'd ever see the other side of that deal. There's been some folks in my life that I didn't think that I'd ever come to a place to forgive them. But I have. And I think that was God's will. Because you see, God's plan is not just for you. It's for that person that you're bitter against too. God's plan is for that person too. But if you become bitter and I become bitter, here the Bible says that we need to be cautious about becoming bitter unless many be defiled. So the devil uses that bitterness in our life to defile people around us. And instead of bringing them to Jesus, it drives them away from Jesus, because of our bitterness in our life. Rejoice evermore. Verse 18 says, in everything, that's what we talked about a while ago, in everything give thanks. So in these trials of life that you and I will have, we're either going to become bitter or we're going to become better. It's a race, and it's one curve right after another. It's a chug hole right after another. It's a dangerous opportunity. One deal right after another in this road of life that you and I are in. It is tough. Life is tough. So we either become bitter or we're going to become better. And I believe that the Bible teaches that you and I have a choice about whether we become bitter or we become better. I want us to look first of all at the elements of the race. And unless I forget to say it, I want to tell you that a lot of times the trouble itself, the problem itself that we're to give thanks over, is the vehicle by which God's going to bring us to that place where he wants us to be. Did you get what I said? Amen. That might cause bitterness in our life might be the vehicle by which God wants to use to bring us to that place that he wants us to be. We might be praying that God move the mountain, but God might want to use the mountain to bring us to the place where he wants us to be. And as I study in this passage of Scripture, I knew that I was supposed to give thanks for my broken leg. And I did. But this is, I did it wrong. This is what I, this was my thinking about giving thanks for the broken leg. And I did. I said, Lord, I want to thank you for this broken leg. And I said, I thank you, Lord, that it wasn't Gwen that broke her leg. I thank you that it wasn't one of my kids or one of my grandkids that broke their leg, that it was me and not them. Or I didn't include the deacons in that. But I was saying, it's better for me than for somebody else. And I was thanking the Lord that it was me and not someone else. But that's wrong thinking. I needed to come to a place to say, no, Lord, I thank you for my broken leg. Now, I don't know if you got that yet or not, and you may not get it until next week. But, Lord, I thank you for my circumstance and life. Not that it wasn't somebody else, but that it was me, because you love me. And I know you're going to work something good out of this if I handle it in the right way. Now, have I handled it in the right way? Nope. And my wife's shaking her head. David Jeremiah said that the preacher stood up and said he'd lived a near perfect life, and some woman leaned over to her neighbor and said, I'd like to get a second opinion from his wife. No, I haven't. But he's taught me some stuff through it. So I want us to look at this. I want us to look at some hindrances to the race. You're in the race, right? If you're saved, you're in the race. And if you're not saved, you're not in the race. I mean, you're going through life. But I want you to know that the Lord's not chastening you. All these things that's happening to you is not coming from the Lord. Because he only chastens his own. He only disciplines his own. Now, I said a while ago that there is a difference. I can't hardly sit still. There is a difference between a whipping, a spanking. We got whoopings at my house. I tell you what, you can't get a spanking off of a peach tree limb. When you've had that used on you, you got a whooping. You didn't get a spanking. Or anything that mama could pick up. There's a difference between chastening and discipline. Sometimes the Lord chastens us, sometimes he disciplines us. Let me tell you the difference between discipline. The discipline of a child is teaching a child constantly, teaching a child how to act, what he's supposed to do. And you don't always do that with a whipping, do you? No, sometimes it's just telling, speaking, saying, this is how you do it. I didn't have any boys. I've got grandsons. And I would say to them, boys, you don't act like that around men. Be a man. When somebody sticks their hand out to you to shake hands, you stick that hand out there and try to crack their knuckles. Don't stick a wet dish rag out there for them to squeeze. Act like a man. That is discipline. I didn't whoop them because they didn't stick their hand out to shake hands with the man like they should have. I told them after we left, that's not how you act around men. You act like a man around men. And that's the difference between a spanking and discipline. The Lord, sometimes he disciplines us. Sometimes he has to spank us into line. Maybe a broken leg's a spanking. I don't know for sure. Hindrances to the race. First of all, the weight. The weight. What's he talking about when he talks about the weight in this race? It's distractions. How are you doing in the race anyway? Well, we could ask Mama. How are you doing in the race? I mean, in this race of life, how are you making it? Are you winning people to Jesus? Are you using the golden sword at the house and the silver sword at work? Are you trying to use the same kind of language at home that you use at work, and the same kind of trying to get your kids to line up like you do people who are working for you? There's a whole lot of difference. The weight here, I think, is distractions. Stuff that we are allowing to distract us from the race. And I tell you, we're living in a society where there is all kinds of distractions. I can't imagine the distractions that young people go through that are sometimes just disqualifying them from the race. We get people so distracted they can't even come to church. That's the very least we ought to be able to teach our family, that we get up on Sunday morning and come to church. Distractions. Maybe something in our life is hindering us, that weight that's keeping us from running the race well, doing our very best in the race, getting that weight out of our life. What is it? What is it? Are you addicted to something that would keep you from running the race well? Or is there something that you've allowed in your life that is keeping you from running the race well, keeping me from running the race well? And then he says the sin. He used two different words here. First he used the word weight, and then he used the word sin. But he didn't just say sin keeps you from running the race well. He said the sin. The sin. So what I believe about this is that I think there's things that tempt me that wouldn't necessarily tempt you. I know that there's temptations in my life that my wife is not faced with at all. And that's probably true in your life. There's things that would bother you that wouldn't bother me at all. So I think that every one of us have a sin that we have to deal with. That doesn't mean that we give in to it. You may deal with it all the rest of your life. I've enjoyed asking some older people. Now I'm one of them. But I've enjoyed asking some older people about this thing of temptation in their life. Do older folks believe that as we grow older, that the temptations become less? Do they become more? Do they stay the same? Are we not tempted as much? So I'm going to dig pretty deep here. One thing that I've asked some older men, what about this thing of lust? Does it get less? Does it get more? Does it stay the same? And if you'll come Sunday after next, I'm going to tell you the answer to that. No, I'm kidding. I'm going to go ahead and tell you now. It's still there. The men that I have interviewed said it's still there. They still have to deal with it. They still have, if they were to give in, it would be a sin in their life. It's a sin, it's a deal that they have to deal with. You know what that's called? The flesh. Did you know that the Bible says that the flesh lusteth against the spirit? there's a constant battle going on between our flesh and the spirit. The spirit wants to be in control. Spirit of God wants to be in control. Walk in the spirit, the Bible says, and you will not, are you hearing me? You will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So in this race, we're to walk in the spirit. So we got hindrances. And then we've got this resistance toward God's discipline. I'd look at my watch, but somebody got on to me the other day for looking at my watch. So I'm just going to go on, okay? Don't you look at yours either. Resisting God's discipline or allowing it to build us. So, first of all, in Hebrews 12, 5 and 6, the Lord's discipline is proof of His love. The test and the trials of this life are more than you can handle. Did you get it? This test that you're going through, these trials that you're going through, this road of life, this, man, this curve that you're trying to negotiate right now, that's more than you can handle. That divorce in your child's life is more than you can handle. That wayward son or daughter is more than you can handle. That divorce that you are going through is more than you can handle. That deal at work is more than you can handle. You believe me?
Amen.
God made it so. God made it so that you couldn't handle it. Now this is what happens. We say, I can handle this. I just pull my boots on, tuck my shirt in, I can handle this. I don't need any help. I don't need anybody telling me what to do. I don't need to look in the scripture because I'm looking at pornography. I don't need to look in the scripture. I'll handle this on my own. No, you can't either. God made it more than what you can handle. And He made that thing that would make you bitter in life more than what you can handle. So you and I have a choice. We can either do it by grace. See, grace has a double definition. Now, we know what grace is, right? Grace is unmerited favor. What does that mean? It means that we don't deserve God's grace. But I tell you, it has another definition too. Grace picks up the heavy end of what we're going through. Grace picks it up. When our daughter Suzanne was going through her divorce, I never thought that I would ever experience anything any worse than that, or I never had. When we took that baby and laid it in the arms of the woman that my ex-son-in-law had left his wife and child over for them to take for the weekend. That's pretty tough stuff. I wanted to kill somebody over that. But I want to tell you where God has brought us to. We went to our oldest grandson's graduation from the military, whatever, training deal. And we all had lunch together. I hugged my ex-son-in-law and his wife and his wife's sister. I don't know, she got in line some way and just hugged her too. And that's been 20 years ago. Now I'm telling you, that wasn't an easy time for us to go through. And I did not know what I know now. I would have fought the bitterness harder. I would have known a little more about bitterness. If I'd have known a little more about bitterness, I would have come through that deal a little better. But I didn't know. I'd read this, but I didn't know the warning about bitterness that Hebrews has in it here. I'd read it, but it had not registered in my life. Verse 11 says, no discipline is enjoyable while it's happening. It's painful. Do I think that God brought about that divorce to do something in my life? Well, of course I don't believe that. God doesn't do that. He's not the author of evil. But I think that he wanted to use that in my life to build me, to make me better. Do you think that when Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers, that he could have said, oh boy. No. But when it come down to the gun, you read it in your word, he said, you meant it for evil. God had another plan. God meant it for good. The devil means it for evil in your life, but God is going to turn that around and mean it for good in your life, no matter what it is. Becoming better through the circumstances of life. Look at verse 15. Looking diligently. Now, what does that mean? I'm going to look at it anyway. I know I've run way over. I can't hardly keep from it. Looking diligently. Really look close. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest a root of bitterness spring up, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Now, you might say in your life, well, this is going on, but I wouldn't consider that I'm bitter. But I deserve to be mad. I was mistreated. I didn't deserve this. So I'm going to hold this grudge. It's not all that big a deal. I'm not going to get bitter. I'm just going to hold a grudge. This is a downward spiral of bitterness. Now let me show you what he said here. He said, think about Esau. And he gave the illustration of Esau. You remember the story of Esau? He was one that sold his birthright for some beans, pottage, a morsel of meat, the New Testament calls it. He thought he was going to die of starvation. And then, of course, he was tricked out of the blessing. Because he sold his birthright, and it says that he sought to repent with tears, but he couldn't find any repentance. That is, he couldn't find any repentance in his father. His father said, no, I've already given it out. That's it. Well, don't you have one blessing left for me? No, that's it. I gave it to your brother that tricked me. And it calls him a profane person. It uses another word here. a fornicator. You see any place in the scripture where Esau is called a fornicator? What is fornication? Fornication is having a relationship with someone other than your wife, right? It's called adultery in some places. It's called fornication in some places. The Lord called people drifting from Him, turning from Him, fornication sometimes and adultery sometimes. Israel had committed the sin of adultery against God, or fornication. Unfaithfulness. Profane person. This word profane, God dishonoring. I don't care what God says. I don't care what the Bible says. I've got this in my life. I've become bitter. So I deserve this. I heard an illustration a couple weeks ago where a pastor had left his wife and family and run off with some woman. And he said, and then when you see the woman, you think, what? Are you kidding me? That woman couldn't hold his wife a light to run by. She looked like she'd fell out of an ugly tree and hit every limb on the way down. And he leaves his wife and family for another woman. This is a spiral of bitterness. He was headed down. Wasn't about the woman. It was about bitterness in his heart. Friend, I'm telling you today, you better get it out. You better get the bitterness out of your life. Here is a warning. I deserve to be bitter. Oh, yeah. Here the Bible says, if you leave it in your life, many will be defiled. Right. So you deserve it? You better get it out. I better get it out. I better not turn to bitterness. I better turn to betterness with the Lord. A bitter person's easy to spot. It's always about them. It's always about them. It's what I want. I don't care what anybody else wants. It's what I want. I've got my own agenda and I'm going to run it through. It doesn't matter if it hair-lips the governor. I'm going to run it through. It's all about me. They're unhappy and they're unsatisfied. And they want everybody around them to be the same way. And they don't care who knows it. Right. They make their children unhappy. They make their wife unhappy. And they make anybody that they have to associate with unhappy. And that's the reason that it talks about that it affecting other people. The glass is always half empty instead of half full. It's always half empty. They defile those that are around them. Did you know that the proverb says that the adulterer looks for the precious life? Let's stand together. The most important decision that you'll ever make in all of your life is what you do with Jesus. And I tell you, I know that this is not This has not been an easy message. And you might say, what on earth was he talking about? If that's the truth, you better do business with God. What about it, folks? I mean, would you choose to hold that grudge? Would you choose to be bitter because you feel like you deserve to be bitter? Why don't we lay it out this morning? Leon's going to come up here. He's up here. Maybe you need to come to this altar today and do business with the Lord. If you're not saved, I'm going to ask you to come to me, and that you might accept Christ as your personal Savior today. If you want to join this church, come to Leon or myself, and we'd love to have you. If you've got another decision, you come right now. Please don't hesitate.